Next case for argument is Hernandez versus Chertoff. Milwaukee.
Thank you, Judge Flom, Judge Evans, Judge Williams. Good morning. May it please the court, I'm Godfrey Mwange for the appellant, Leticia Hernandez. We appealed the judgment of the district court in the Eastern District of Wisconsin. The respondents have suggested that the court review this as a petition for review in light of the Real ID Act and its mandates. And if the court reviews it as a petition for review as opposed to an appeal of the district court's judgment, then the immigration judge's decision would be what would be on review. If, on the other hand, the court reviews it as an appeal of the district court's judgment, of course, the district court's judgment would then be on review here. Either way, the issues are the same. My client, as counsel for the respondents earlier in these proceedings, advised the court, has already been deported to Mexico. After having been in the United States for approximately 30 years. And she was deported because of a mistake on the adjustment application. The answer no to the question, have you ever been arrested? That's what this case boils down to. Now, a lot of arguments have been made in the case, and we've briefed the case on issues back and forth, both before the IJ, the board, and the district court. There's an issue that looms and remains unresolved, which is whether the IJ correctly held that the government had met its burden on whether or not it had been proven that she had willfully misrepresented a material fact that she had been arrested before. And that, I believe, is the essential question here. The issue of whether she had entered without inspection is an issue on which I do not believe there's much of a contest. The issue regarding whether or not the government had proven whether she had willfully misrepresented a material fact is one in which we take the position that the government never met its burden. It's an issue on which the IJ clearly made an error because there are three steps to that inquiry, and the IJ only conducted a one-step inquiry. Was there in the record evidence that she answered no to the question, have you ever been arrested? He never reached the issue of materiality and never reached the issue of willfulness. Now, of course, our opponents argue that it doesn't matter whether or not the IJ did that. What matters is whether we've raised an issue of law under the Real ID Act or a constitutional claim. And they say that, saying that merely branding something a constitutional claim or calling it an issue of law doesn't make it such. Well, if an IJ is required by statute to determine whether an alien has made a willful misrepresentation of a material fact, which has three discrete steps, and only conducts one of the steps, that clearly is a violation of the statute. And
but I'll let you finish that thought.
No, Judge, you can go ahead and ask.
I just wanted you to get to the whole the government's contention, though, in that regard that there's no due process claim here because there's no liberty or property interest at stake. I mean, so that's how the government says, you know, the IJ didn't have to reach those next two steps in the analysis.
Well, Your Honor, if you look at that issue discreetly and ignore what is at stake, because if you read Woodby versus the INS, a 1966 United States Supreme Court precedent, it places the burden to determine deportability squarely on the government. The government has the burden to produce and prove by clear, unequivocal, and convincing evidence on each of the factual allegations in the order to show cause. The Supreme Court in 1979 in Addington versus Texas held that the word unequivocal by itself suggests evidence that admits of no doubt. In this case, if they raise the issue and say she willfully misrepresented a material fact, and that determination requires three steps, three discrete steps, and the IJ has only gone through one step, they clearly have not proved by clear, unequivocal, and convincing evidence the truth of the allegation that she willfully misrepresented a material fact, because the evidence admits of doubt. There's still doubt in the record as to the truth of the allegation of immigration fraud. And so if you ignore their burden, yes, the IJ did what the IJ had to do. But if you focus on what the burden was, they had to prove that factual allegation first before she could be deportable. Now, they will argue that on the entry without inspection, she was deportable. However, she has relief to that because she's married to a U.S. citizen. And the only way that relief goes away, again, is because they're arguing immigration fraud. So if they don't prove the immigration fraud by evidence that is clear, unequivocal, and convincing, she does not get deported because she's entitled to a waiver on simple hardship to her U.S. citizen husband and children. Now, it is kind of circuitous as it sounds, but you cannot have one and ignore the others. You are saying she's deportable because she entered without inspection. The inquiry does not stop there. You then go to the relief phase. She's married to a U.S. citizen. She's entitled to an opportunity to seek relief because of that. This is where they came in with the allegation she committed immigration fraud. The IJ failed to put them to their strictest proof on that allegation. I think she has an interest in that respect because the U.S. citizen, her husband, petitioned the U.S. government, which approved his petition. At some point, you have to recognize some kind of right that is vested, because under what is, I think, a settled now precedent of the First Circuit in Sukar versus Ashcroft, that court followed a very clear tracing of the legislative history and found that Congress clearly intended that anybody who is in the United States who has eligibility to adjust their status is eligible to adjust until there's a concrete reason why they shouldn't and should be permitted to adjust their status, not be forced to go outside the United States to do that, until there's a sound reason why not. In this case, the only reason they raise that she cannot do that is the alleged immigration fraud. They did not meet their clear, unequivocal, and convincing burden. They allege they did, but they're glossing over what that burden or standard requires.
Thank you, Mr. Wong. Mr. Larson?
May it please the court, my name is Chris Larson, an assistant United States attorney in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I'm representing the respondents, appellees, Michael Chertoff in this case. Just like to preliminarily state that the government does agree with Mr. Mwangi that this matter can be considered by this court under appropriate standards as a petition for review, and that's what we've asked for in our brief, that the case started out prior to the passage of the Real ID Act as a habeas corpus petition and should properly be considered by this court as a petition for review and converted into that.
So everything that happened before Judge Randa is a nullity?
I would say so. Obviously the reasoning is still in the record, and in some ways Mr. Mwangi makes a good point that some of the legal analysis is some of the things that the court will have to consider. But yes, I would say that the Real ID Act, because it's retroactive, essentially does render the prior proceedings a nullity, and this court is charged in the first instance with looking at the petition for review and the arguments that are made in that petition.
Did anybody tell Judge Randa and the district court they hold up here? Yeah. If you wait a week, you don't have to do anything.
That's a good point. That did not happen, and maybe if someone had been monitoring the progress of the passage of the bill, because I think the Judge Randa's decision actually came out about a week before the passage of the Real ID Act. Yes, so... I didn't think of that, but that's certainly a fair point, because you put obviously a lot of work and an extensive analysis into his decision. Point that I would like to start with, which I think Mr. Mwangi rightly pointed out, would be our initial position, is that I think as sort of a first fact, it should be kept in mind that Cervantes Hernandez entered the United States without inspection, and therefore that first question of deportability, I think, is undisputed in this case. Now, there was an additional ground for deportability that was later charged because of the misrepresentation on the application to adjust status, but that still remains undisputed in the record Ms. Cervantes Hernandez is deportable.
Well, what was the evidence that he found that there was a willful misrepresentation?
Well, Your Honor, if you look at the IJ's decision, I would have to concede that the analysis is somewhat truncated in that area. It probably could have been articulated in a little more detail. However, I think if you look at the IJ's decision as a whole, which is contained in an appendix to the blue brief, to the petitioner's brief, there is an extensive analysis of Ms. Cervantes Hernandez's version of the crime that she committed, as well as a discussion of the explanation for how the answer no got onto the form when she was asked about her prior convictions, when clearly she had been convicted in the Eastern District of Wisconsin. And the court, the IJ, specifically found that he thought that explanation lacked credibility. He gave reasons for it in the decision. As a matter of fact, I think stating at various times that her explanation seemed inconsistent with her testimony during the hearings in this case. So I would contend that if you reach that issue, which our position is the court really shouldn't even get to that issue, because at bottom this is a discretionary determination, and absent a liberty interest, a due process claim can't be made out of that. But putting that aside, I would contend that although the decision is not constructed such that there's the element of willfulness laid out and then a discussion of willfulness, it seems clear what the IJ is doing, albeit in the context of the later waiver application, is there is consideration of willfulness going
on.
Well,
doesn't the IJ spend a lot of time talking about her prior conviction, which was involved in obtaining documents for others, and not so much focusing on her own false documentation?
Yeah, that's a fair point. He spends most of the time, I think the first 6 points of his sort of his analysis of her story, her credibility, her testimony at the hearing, the first 6 points deals with that. But then there is a seventh point that discusses some problems with her testimony about how the no answer got on the form, and clearly it should be yes. So I would contend that there is an analysis, at least some analysis of willfulness going on, although not really stated as such. The IJ cites the correct statute, which contains both the materiality and the willfulness elements. And so I think to say that the IJ simply was ignoring parts of the statute and exercising its discretion is not quite a fair reading of the record. And again, I would go back to the point just to stress, obviously we've stated this in our brief, but to the extent this is a due process question, their deportability here has essentially been conceded, and what Ms. Cervantes-Hernandez here is essentially seeking is two forms of discretionary relief. And under those circumstances, because there's no liberty interest in those forms of relief, it simply cannot support a due process claim. So there's no other questions at this time.
Thank you, Professor. Mr. Longy, your time had expired, but you may have a minute.
Thank you very much, Judge Plum. I think, again, mixing two things that don't go together is the danger here. We may have conceded entry without inspection. We never conceded immigration fraud, because immigration fraud under the immigration statute requires a showing of, one, what the fraud is, two, what its materiality is, number three, that it was willful. You can show that she said no to the answer, have you ever been arrested, but materiality is simply absent here, because with her application for the green card, she provided the government her fingerprints, with which they would have discovered that she had been arrested before. She would have had to be interviewed on this application before her green card would have been granted. She would have been asked questions on that application. So saying that this judge asked about materiality and somehow this misrepresentation was material is really absurd. And willfulness also is another absurdity, because the form was clearly prepared by someone other than Ms. Cervantes, and that question is clearly in doubt and was not proven by anything close to clear, unequivocal, or convincing evidence. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Longy. Thank you to all counsel. The case is taken under advisement. The court will